I'm back. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, I received a call on Monday. I told you guys about this last time. But it went a little different this time, and I wanna share this with you, because I think it'll help a lot of us. I got the call on Monday. Apostle called me, and he said, you got it Wednesday. Now, for the very first time ever, I paused. Because sometimes we allow things that's going on around us determine what steps we're going to take. Most of you know you don't see me too much out front. I'm the behind the scenes person. If the lights are on, I got to make sure they stay on, you know. And so things are always clicking with me. And for those of you who don't know, I have four boys at home. So that's a whole nother deal right there. And so at first when he said, you got it Wednesday, and I paused. And he said, now it's okay. Your brother can handle it. Your brother's ready. He can take care of it. And I said, okay, and hung the phone up. When I hung that phone up, God was right there waiting for me. And the only thing I heard was, when I call, you need to answer. So I picked the phone back up and I called Apostle back and I said, I got it. I didn't have no big dissertation or no big explanation as to why I hung up the first time, but I needed you to understand, I need you to give it back to me because I got it. And so I'm sharing that because we all run into things that makes us think we can't handle something else. Or we always have, you know, things going on, like it's life. Things going on that sometimes causes you to hesitate for what God is really telling you to do. But you got to pick the phone back up and call him back and tell him I got it. Yeah. Right?
Good, 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 good.
You may be seated. Last time, those of you who were here, when I was able to share with you, we dug into some things about our minds and taking care of our minds and checking our thoughts and how to take care of things that comes at us like fiery darts in our minds so that we can stay on track with what it is God has for us to do. So to begin with, I am going to review that just a little bit because there's something connected to that I want to talk to you about tonight that I really think is going to help all of us take a step forward. So you have to realize whatever I'm saying up here, I'm taking it also. I believe that whatever God says through me, he's saying to me. So to open up real quick, I'm going to open up with prayer. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the opportunity to gather together in your name. Father, we believe that you have something to tell us tonight. We open our hearts, our minds, our ears to receive. I thank you, Father, that everyone in this room, from the front to the back, will receive everything they came for. We trust you totally, Father, to move in this place, to guide and direct us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with your in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy 1. Before, when I spoke with you, we talked about the mind and how the mind is the access point by which Satan gains entrance into your life. Basically, that means nothing comes into your life if it has not started as a thought first. There were five things I discussed last time, and I'm going to go through them real quick, and then I'm going to move on to the next section of this. What you think about ultimately results in your future. Number one, your thoughts will determine your decisions. Number two, your decisions will determine your actions. Number three, your actions will determine your habits. Number four, I'll go over them again if I'm saying them too fast, if you missed them. Your habits will develop your character. And number five, your character will determine your destiny. I'll go back over them again. I know I said I'm kind of quick that time. Number one, your thoughts will determine your decisions. Whatever you think about, you will make a decision from those thoughts. Number two, your decisions will determine your action. Once you make a final decision, most of the time you're going to act on that decision that you made. Number three, your actions will determine your habits. As you act on that decision, then you're going to gain habits off of the actions you've continually performed these actions. Number four, your habits will develop your character. And number five, your character will determine your destiny. The type of character you have, the type of person you are, will determine the outcome in your life. So the bottom line is, your thought life is the root to everything else. Your thought life is the root, and everything else that comes up is just the fruit of something you've been thinking about. So that's touching on what we talked about last time. But in 2 Timothy 1, we're going to look at verse 7. Because I want to dig into this just for a minute. How many of you know the first reaction to anything that comes up in our life that's not positive is fear? Amen. The first reaction is fear. We're wondering if it's going to work out. Is it going to happen? What you get a phone call. Your first reaction is fear. Yes. And so tonight we're going to deal with that fear. I want to talk to you about gaining a sound mind to overcome fear. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of number one, power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Right there in that verse, God is explaining to us exactly what we need to overcome fear. It's not real hard. I think sometimes we overthink things and we make it more complicated than it has to be. And here we are hustling and hustling and hustling. And the three things are right there in front of you. Power, love, and a sound mind. We overcome fear. That's a wrap. There's three forces to overcome fear. The first one is power. When you have the power to change something, there's no need for you to be scared of it anymore. Amen. Think about it. If there's something in your life that you're dealing with, but then you have the power to change that whole thing, why would you be scared of it anymore? So if you have the power to change something, fear can't stay. Luke 10 and 19 tells us we have power over every power of the enemy. Number two is love. The Bible also tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Now, when we're talking about perfect love, we're talking about the God kind of love. We're not talking about husband and wife love, mother, son love, anything like that. We're talking about the God kind of love. That kind of love exceeds these regular loves we have going on here on the earth. Because that kind of love looks beyond faults and looks beyond things that we can't control. The God kind of love is a spiritual love that supersedes everything else. Now, number three, that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. A sound mind. A sound mind can overcome fear. A sound mind overcomes fear because when you are thinking in agreement with what God is thinking, then there is no place for fear to abide. There is no place for fear to stay as long as you're thinking the thoughts of God. Everybody say it with me, power, love, and a sound mind.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Now, I'm going to dig into what exactly a sound mind is, because I believe if God says he's given me something, I need a clear understanding of what it is so that I can get all the benefits of it. So first of all, a sound mind means to be spiritually minded. Now I know you're looking like, okay, now you got the break. I'm coming. Give me a second. A sound mind means to be spiritually minded. Now, all of us know from the word that when you set your mind in the spirit, it brings life and peace, yes. Right? When you set your mind in the flesh, it brings death. The Bible clearly tells us that. We need to make sure that our minds are set on the right things. If your mind is set on the word of God, you're spiritually minded. So that's basically, if you're feeding on the word and you're focusing on what God says about the situation you're dealing with, then you're spiritually minded. A mind that is ruled by the word of God and controlled by the force of patience. That's spiritually minded. A mind that is ruled by the word of God and controlled by the force of patience. Turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, and I'm going to look at verse 12 in just a minute. Patience means that you're standing on the word and not budging an inch until you get what you're standing there for.
Amen.
See, a lot of times when we'll say we're believing God for something, but when it doesn't show up in the timing that you've set, then we get impatient. And then we want to start doing things that we think is the right thing to do. We start making decisions based on what sounds good or what looks good or what we heard that person do to get what they got. And a lot of times that causes us to move out of the position God told us to be in order to be there to receive when he sends it. In Luke chapter 21, we're going to look at verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So that's basically telling us if you're going to stand with what God says, there are going to be people that come against you. But the next verse is what I want you to get to. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. What we have to realize is everybody deals with things. If I was to take this mic off and pass it around, there are things in here that everyone, either you've just finished dealing with something, you're in the middle of something, or you're going to be in something later. Because the Bible clearly tells us in this life you will have tribulation. We live on the earth where things will come against us. We haven't been promised not to deal with anything, but we have been promised that God will give us the answer to get us through that and be in victory on the other end. It says there, when you are delivered up, when you are persecuted, when you are oppressed, when things are coming against you seemingly from every direction, you need to expect that thing to turn unto you as a testimony. Everybody say, it will turn unto me.
It will turn unto me.
As a testimony. Say it again. It will turn unto me
as a testimony.
So what does that mean? That means whatever the doctor's report is, it will turn unto me as a testimony. It does not matter what they say, how they say it, how many times they say it to you. Right here, the Bible clearly states, it's going to come at me, but it's going to turn unto me as a testimony. Now, you have to believe that. You have to be looking for the testimony out of it because it's coming because God promised it. I'm going to finish reading this part and get to the patience in there. It shall turn unto me for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. How many of you remember in school, we memorized a lot of things. We memorized it until it was test time. And We put it back out. And for some reason, poof, it's gone, just like that, after you take your test. When you become a student of the word, it's not really necessary to memorize the word. The reason I say that is, as a student of the word, you're studying, you're trusting God, and you're listening for his voice. And I think a lot of times we'll get scriptures and we're repeating them and repeating them and repeating them and trying to memorize them so we can get them down into our spirit. But that's not really how it's done. See, if you're studying the word and you're having a connection with God and a fellowship, then you wouldn't believe what's in there when it's time to come up. What really works is when you have to activate this stuff, when you have to activate something in your life because you're dealing with something, that's when you really know it. When you have rehearsed it and said it and said it, you got it on a card, you got it on a little slip here, and you say it in the morning and you say it at night, it's not until that thing needs to be put into action that the Holy Spirit is going to pull it up. Now you really know it.
Yes.
And so that verse right there is telling us that you don't need to meditate before what your answer is going to be. If you are a student of the word and you follow God and what he's telling you to do, when the time comes, it will be there. There's no need to struggle. And I can't memorize this verse. It's not sticking with me. It's there. You got to know it's there. You just do your part and be a student of the word. And when that situation comes, that answer that's tucked down in there, it will come up. I promise you. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. That's him telling us right there. I'm going to give you exactly what to say when you deal with a situation, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But, verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. See, a lot of times we get so caught up in the problem that we forget God said here that not a hair of my head will be touched regardless of what the situation is. But there should not a hair of your head perish. In your patience, that we're going to talk about patience in a minute. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You have to remember, regardless of what it is, regardless of how hard it seems, regardless of how long it's been there, this thing can turn to you for a testimony. It doesn't even matter if the situation looked like it's dead, because we all know, even though something's dead, there's a setting and a time for a resurrection. The same God that raised Lazarus from the dead can raise your situation up in the blink of an eye. You know, Jesus was with Jairus going to see his daughter. His daughter had died. And as they were en route, the report came that the girl was dead. Now, Jesus is walking. They told him the report is dead. He never stopped walking. He never stopped walking because he was on assignment. See, your assignment is very important to what it is you're believing God for. We can't have, I'm believing God for this over here, and don't have the assignment to match up with it. So you can't expect to get from God, and you're not, you know, they ask, what have you done for him lately? That's very important. Jesus was on assignment. He's the prime example of how we need to walk. And how we need to move and how we need to follow direction. Because if it was you and somebody said, you're going there to take care of them, but they're dead. What are you going to do? You're going to turn around and go back. Ain't nothing I could do with that. Right? It didn't matter what they said. It didn't matter what the report was, because Jesus was on assignment. He was headed to get something done. And because he was headed to get something done, all these other factors and things that come up that look like they don't fit what you're trying to do or what God told you to do, all this other stuff that's trying to bombard you and things people are saying, none of that matters when you're on assignment And you're headed in the direction God told you to go. You know, while I'm talking about Jesus being the perfect example, I'm going to take a pit stop and touch on something real quick. Because our assignment is so important. And whether you believe it or not, or whether you figured yours out, everybody has one. Everybody in the body of Christ has an assignment. Doesn't mean your assignment will be up here. But everybody has an assignment. Apostle has been talking to us lately about just witnessing. That's our assignment. Every last one of us in here, that's our assignment. And so in order for us to be in line for God to open up some things and do some things in our lives, we have to figure it out, talk to God, and find where we fit in. I'm going to touch on something that has nothing to do with patience, but I got to touch on this. So Jesus being our example about being on assignment. You know, there's a lot of people believing God for something. One thing in particular, you got people who are believing God for their mate. It's very important. But we find that when certain things don't happen in our timing, or that person doesn't show up by this age, or don't show up after I've gotten myself at this point in my career, we tend to start getting fearful and fretting. And this goes for anything you're believing God for, but I want to talk to these people real quick. Your job is to find your assignment. Your job is not to focus on who it is and where they're coming from. Your job is to find your assignment, dig in there, and get it done. Prime example, me and Apostle was talking the other day, and I was sharing something with him that I had seen because it started at the beginning of the Bible. Your instructions came from the very beginning of the Bible. If you're believing for a spouse and a mate in here, your instructions came from the very beginning of the Bible because, see, Adam was given an assignment. And it was a real big one. It was his job to take care of the whole garden. He was supposed to name the animals. He was supposed to make sure everything was taken care of. Now, when I read this part of the Bible, I never see Adam stop doing what he's doing to turn around to God and say, well, God, what about me? Because, see, all these other animals out here have a mate or have another of their kind. But me, I'm out here by myself. So, Lord, what about me? Because I'm getting a little lonely. I'm getting a little frustrated now because, look, them over there, they got somebody. I didn't get that part in the Bible. Now, if somebody saw it in your translation, I need you to show it to me because I did not see Adam ever do that. What they say Adam was doing, he was on assignment. Now, God had to stop Adam from what he was doing and put him to sleep to make him a mate. See, a lot of times we're wondering, what's the holdup? A lot of times we're wondering, what's stopping this thing from coming in my life? I know God promised it to me. So what is the deal? The deal is, what is your assignment? What are you doing that God has assigned you to do so that he could stop you for a moment, put you to sleep, and then give you that thing you're believing for? And so we get impatient. We start going places we shouldn't go looking for it. Then you get what you don't want. Then you want Apostle to fix him. No, let's start from the beginning. Let's get into our assignment. Get into your assignment and allow God to put you to sleep and to set that thing up for you. Okay, that was a side note. It was right here. I've been waiting for an opportunity to share that. Let me get back to my subject here. You have to be willing to believe until the end. Regardless of what it looks like, you have to be willing to believe until the end. You have to have patience, hold fast, and stand there for, and believe that God is going to come through no matter what the situation is. Faith says, I believe no matter what. Say it. I believe no matter what. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Patience. We got to have patience sometimes Because sometimes you want to rush things when you're believing God for something. You want it right now, and I understand that on time God. I understand God can do it in an instant. But sometimes you're not ready for the instant, and sometimes he's working some things out. And sometimes you force an instant, and it's not quite what you really needed. Yeah. Now we got to pray through.
Right.
So patience is very important when it comes to having a sound mind and overcoming fear. Because a lot of times when we're in fear and we're reacting and we're scared of things, it's because we won't pause for a moment. Like they call it a knee-jerk reaction. You don't pause for a moment just to give God, just give him that time to get into it, and then he'll work it out without you having to work it out. Hebrews 6, verse 12 tells us through faith and what?
Patience,
we inherit the promises. Over and over again, he's telling us you need to be patient. See, when you're in the midst of a situation, a trial, a challenge, be it in your body, be it in your marriage, in your family, anything like that, because like I said, from the top to the bottom, we all deal with things. God is such a faithful God. But if you forget that, you start hustling on your own. You start hustling on your own, and then you've worked, you've sweat, you've had tears, and look up, and you're still where you started. See, it's God just wants you to look to him, turn to him, trust him, go forward, put blinders on. It doesn't matter what's over here, and it doesn't matter what's over here. You put those blinders on and focus totally on what he's called you to do and focus totally on the direction that he's called you in. All this stuff that's out here, he got that. That's not even nothing for you to tend to. God wants us to totally trust him. Totally trust him, turn to him, and look to him. It's not enough for God to have children that know him from afar. And when I say that, he's not the God that's out there in space somewhere. Or the God that's in these Bible stories that we read. God wants you to experience him and all of him. The power we see in the Bible is true, and it's true for us. But if we don't pull on that power and we look at these things like God did it for Moses and God did it for Joseph, but, you know, I'm here now in 2018, that stuff not going to work right here. Then you're putting doubt on God. Because, see, it doesn't matter the circumstances, he's still the same God.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how hard it seems, he's still the same God. When we go through something, because a lot of times we don't want to get touched. We really just want to float around and, you know, not really have a challenge or, you know, that's what I know in your mind. That's what you really want. Right. But that's not real. And that's not real life. And so the true test is when you do go through a challenge and you come back out the other end on top, then that's when you truly learn who God is.
Yeah.
See, he's God. He's always God, okay? I'm not downplaying that at all. But those of you who've been through something know who he is as God once you come out that thing on the other side. So don't take everything you go through as such hardship, because you have to understand through the thing you're going through, you're maturing and you're learning and you're knowing God better in a better relationship, that once you get out on the other end, that thing is going to be a breeze if it ever come up again. But a lot of times we want to run from things that we're going through and that the enemy tried to put in front of us because we don't want to deal with anything. No, deal with it. Deal with it. Because after you deal with it and he bring you out on the other side,
yeah,
you're going to see a different way of life. You're going to be able to look at things differently because now you got something under your belt that when he tries to come back around again, well, you remember what you tried to do last time? Well, this is what I got for you this time. So we have to not be so scary. That's the best way I can say it. Just scary, just jumpy with whatever comes up. Don't be so scary, because if you really know who he is, if you really know what he can do, then there's no need to be shaky and scary about it. We're all human and we're all in the flesh, and the enemy will try to throw those fiery darts and that fear at you to begin with, but step back and say, I have power, I have love, and he's given me a sound mind. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you have a sound mind. You are not crazy. Right. God has given every last one of us a sound mind to be able to deal with anything he tries to bring into our life. So we have to know God and who he is, not just as a Sunday God, a Wednesday God, because I come to prayer God. We have to know God in the power and the authority that he has given us to handle anything that comes up. See, because the things that happen in the Bible are true, but you have to be able to connect it and compare that thing to what you're dealing right now. See, because the same God that split the Red Sea, now it can't get no bigger than that. There could not have been a bigger challenge than standing at the Red Sea. Imagine if you were there and you're standing there and this sea of water is in front of you and Pharaoh's army is behind you. Don't you think those people that walked across and made it to the promised land, they were stronger, they were a little bit stronger than what they were when they first left. They had a big trust in God after they walked across that Red Sea. See, the children of Israel were released from like 400 years of captivity. On a journey in the wilderness, they were headed to the promised land. But then they came to face to face with the most difficult thing they probably could have ever faced in their lives. They came across a problem like we all do when they faced the Red Sea. Turn to Exodus 14. In Exodus 14, we all know the story, and they were facing the Red Sea. I'm sure some of them was freaking out. Let's be real. If you could be real right now in your seat about yourself, you probably would have been freaking out too. But in the midst, you see, Moses knew God. Because he had walked with him. He knew God because God had done some things already for him, to him, and through him. Okay? So he had a confidence that the rest of them didn't quite have yet. But he's the leader. Because sometimes you just got to follow. Okay? Even when you don't see the answer, clearly, you got to stay close and follow. So here in Exodus, and I'm going to read this, I mentioned to them in the room, but I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. Because Moses gave some instructions. They're standing there in front of the Red Sea. They could hear and see Pharaoh's army coming behind them. So Moses stood before. See, it's important who you're following. You can't just go anywhere and follow anybody. Just real. I'm being real right now. It's important who you follow and what God has done for them and what God has done through them and what God has said to them before we get to this Red Sea over here. That means something. But because the people saw God use Moses, they were able to trust. Okay, whatever he's about to get up here and say to me, I'm just going to do it because I can't do nothing with these people back here. And I sure as heck can't swim across the sea. So they had to trust the man. That's right. God didn't come down and touch that water himself. They had to trust the man that God told them to follow to the promised land. You got to trust the man of God God put in front of you. I'm going to leave that one right there. So Moses gave them some instructions, and I'm going to read starting at verse 13. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Now, I read that version because there's a couple of things out of there that I want to give you tonight that are action instructions. Okay. Myself, I like to give me something to do. Just break it down for me and tell me, do this, do this, do this. And I'll follow instructions very well. Don't leave me up in la la land with this deep thing going on. And when I leave here, I don't know which way to go. I give me some steps. OK, so I'm gonna break down some steps that Moses gave to the people that were following him. There are four things Moses gives the Israelites to do as they face the biggest battle of their lives. So tonight, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with something in your body, if you're dealing with something in your family, if you're dealing with something in your finances, we're going to go through four steps tonight that will apply to anything you're facing right now. Four things Moses gave them to do as they face the biggest battle of their lives. Number one, be fearless. He says, do not fear. Number two, be still. See, that's a hard one for some of us, myself included. Because a lot of times, you know, we just won't go at it. We're gonna get in it today, okay? That's our first reaction when something comes up. You know, even when it comes down to spiritual things, the first thing we want to do, we want to break out our Bible and just start spitting off scriptures. Okay, I got this scripture for that. What else you got? I got this scripture for, and God ain't say none of that about the situation you're dealing with. But that's us, our makeup, because, you know, we powerful. We are. But sometimes we're moving in our own power because we receive, especially here, we receive a lot on a weekly basis. We receive a lot. OK. And sometimes because of what we know, we have a tendency to want to fly on that before we pause and ask God what we want to break out our notes. Because what I'm dealing with sounds like this over here. So I'm going to grab these notes. These are notes I'm going to use today for this situation, right? Because we got a lot of them, which is good. Okay, because they're there for a reason. But you also have to pause because ultimately God is in charge of all of it. And so if we don't take that moment to pause and hear from him what it is he really... See, you're looking at these notes over here, but it was really the ones from 2 weeks ago that's going to really take care of that situation. But if you don't take the time to be still, you don't have to jump off. You know, some people, not myself, or maybe sometimes, but some people are a little quick. Even before they really catch what somebody's saying, they're a little quick, and so they got to answer. Soon as you say something, they got to answer. They popping off and whatever, you know. I know some people like that. But a lot of times, if they would be quiet just for a little while, you can fully hear what the other person is saying. Here, you done made a judgment call, and you done made a decision off of what you heard at first when you didn't give them a chance to explain what they were really saying. So now we have an issue. It's the same thing whenever we face a situation. You have to pause. First, he said, be fearless. Second, he said, be still. Don't move. Don't run. Don't go swinging at nobody. We see them coming. I see them. And I see the, don't jump in and start swimming. Just be still, okay? Number three, be watchful. Be watchful and pay attention. And number four is real simple. He just told them, shh, be quiet. Now, when I get to that one, y'all gonna understand. I need to be quiet sometime too. That's all of us. Don't ever take it no kind of way. But all of us have moments where we didn't talk too fast, we didn't spoke too soon, and sometimes we need to stand still and be quiet and let God do what he's going to do and not block him by doing what we want to do. So number one was be fearless. Number two, be still. Number three, be watchful. And number four, just be quiet. Be fearless. God does not give fear. He gives power, love, and a sound mind. Now, if we know God doesn't give fear and you find yourself being afraid, realize there's a bigger picture on the other side of that situation. See, because if God doesn't give fear and you find yourself and you're getting afraid with something you're dealing with, or you're getting afraid with something that came up or a situation that came up, the devil is the only one that gives fear. But if he's giving fear, he's trying to stop you in your tracks from something that's on the other side of that situation. So a lot of times we get scared and we stop and we pause, and he's accomplished what he's going after, because it wasn't God who made you scared. He doesn't give fear. The Bible clearly told us God does not give us fear. He gives us power. He gives us love, and he gives us a sound mind. And so you have to pause and think about it. Okay, I'm facing this situation, and I'm a little scared, okay? But I know God, he's not making me scared. So now, Father, I need you to show me what it is you need me to do, because now I know there's something over there that he's trying to stop me from getting to. When those people were standing in front of the Red Sea, I know they were scared, okay? But the enemy was trying to stop them so they couldn't get across the water to get to the promised land. Right. See, because what they really needed and what God really has for them is on the other side of the sea. Yeah. Right. But if some of them, which it could have been, the Bible doesn't tell us, but if some of them decided, no, I'm not going across there, that water could fall halfway through, I'm just going to turn around swinging and take my chance with what's going on back here. If somebody decided they were too scared to cross that Red Sea, then guess what? They missed totally what God's destiny was for them. So you have to be mindful. When fear comes up, don't always take it as a moment to stop. Sometime when fear comes up, that means I need to press forward what God has told me, because ultimately he's got something for me on the other side. The enemy will try to keep you from passing through it, because just on the other side of that challenge was the promised land. Number two, be still. Don't lean to your own understanding as to what would be the best thing to do in this situation. The Bible tells us not to lean into our own understanding. When you be still and you stand firmly on what God has promised you, you're making a decision to follow every step that God has ordered. When you get home, you're tired, you've been at work all day. First thing you do, you might take off your shoes, and the first thing you want to do is what? Sit down, lay down, kneel down, whatever, however hard you work that day. And so it's not a hard thing to lay down. It's really not a hard thing to sit down. But there has to be a decision to stand. See, because you have to decide to stand in order to tell your body that these muscles are going to hold me up, that I'm going to stay straight, that I'm not going to move. There has to be a firm decision if you're going to stand up. If I was to tell everybody, don't do it. If I was to tell everybody, stand up right now, you have to make a decision to stand. Yeah. You have to make a decision to cause these muscles to work, these bones to move. Sometimes you got to get the juices flowing, but you have to make a decision in order to stand. When you stand, it requires a firm decision in your mind for an action, for your muscles to stay straight up, a resolution to plant your feet on something and not be moved. He told them to be still. That means stand right there and don't move. We're going to plant our feet on what God has told us to do, and we will not be moved no matter what it looks like to the right or the left, in the front or behind us. We're going to stand firm on exactly what God told us to do and trust that God is going to carry us through this. See, a lot of times nowadays, when you deal with our society or culture, they want us to relax our stance. They want us to relax our standards. And for us not to, you know, they call it religious when we stand on certain things. They call it being religious when we believe things should go a certain way because that's the way the Bible says it should go. And so a lot of times there are things working on us to just sit down for a little while. You know, you don't have to have a stance all the time. Yes, we have to have a stance all the time. We have to be sure of what God told us to do and stand firmly in it if we want to get to the other side of what it is we're believing God for. You have to plant your feet firmly on the truth of God's word and believe that everything he says applies to your life. In Ephesians 6, the Bible tells us to stand firm. Stand firm on the word of God. Number 4 is to be watchful. Most likely, if they were standing there between the Red Sea and the army that was coming at them, that's the last thing I would have wanted standing there and look at, is these people running at me with swords and bows and arrows and whatever else they was going to use to try to kill me. I don't want to watch them. Moses told them, no, open your eyes. Be watchful of what's going on around you. Yeah. See, because he wanted them to catch every detail of what was taking place right then. See, he didn't want them to miss when he held out that rod. See, because that's a part of it. That's something you need to remember. You need to remember when his arm is stretching out. You need to be able to replay that in your mind in slow motion. He wanted them to see when he stretched his arm out over that water. He wanted them to see the look on the face of the person standing next to them when that water started to split open. He wanted them to see what their child looked like when they were holding their hand and they took that first step. See, a lot of times we're so busy looking for that big thing that we're missing the little things God is doing in our life every day. See, we got to thank God for what he did in this 24 hours before we get to what that big thing that we have listed on our list for him to do. There are always little things that God is constantly doing in your life every day. But a lot of times we miss them because we want this up here. When God took care of this right here for you and you didn't even pay any attention to it. See, you need to get you a little notebook. Honestly, this is true. And little things. See, if you pay attention, you'll be able to see. Make yourself keen to what's going on around you because you'll be able to see his hand move right here. You'll be able to see his wind blow right here. You'll be able to see his arm surround you right here. And so it was very important. He told them, be watchful. Yes, look at them coming because I need you to see what it is God is delivering you from. He said, yes, look at the water in front of you because I want you to see as it starts to split. I want you to feel the wind as it starts to blow through that water before you take your step. I want you to take a step and look down at the ground and realize your foot is not sinking because it's not mud because I made it solid. See, a lot of times when we miss those little things, we find ourselves taking longer to get there because we hadn't appreciated the little things that he's done. We hadn't made record of the little things that was taken care of for us because we got our list and we got these particular things we're looking for. Okay? And That's good to have your list. You got to have what you're believing for. But God is a God of every moment, every second. God is a God that's constantly working. Those little things that he's doing for you is preparing you for this big thing that you want. And sometimes you're not prepared for the big thing because that little thing wasn't recognized enough for you to be in the position to be able to handle this big thing you're believing God for. So when Moses told them, be watchful, I want you to see. I want you to see what our God can do. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Don't be fearful. We're going to stand right here and you're going to watch everything that happens. And in the midst of them seeing, can you imagine the stories they had to tell when they got to the other side in the promised land? Can you imagine the things they had to share with each other? Because it was a lot of them, right? So I'm standing next to you and I know what your face looked like, but somebody's going to tell me this person over here passed out because they just couldn't believe it. Those type things are happening every day. God, I thank you for the last 24 hours. And tomorrow I'm going to thank you for that 24 hours. I know this thing that I'm believing for, it's coming. It's going to be here. I'm not worried about it. I'm staying focused. I'm going to stand still, plant my feet on the word of God. But I thank you for this right here. I thank you for what you did for me last week. And I know you're going to do something for me tomorrow. It's very important that we give God his due. Because see, if you can't give God his due, then he can't do for you what it is you want him to do for you. Being thankful and being grateful for everything that happens in your life. It is so important that that happens because all of that plays together in what God wants to accomplish in your life. But you may be seated. The last thing he says to do, and then I'm going to be wrapping up here. The last thing he says to do is shh. You all know the saying, if you don't have anything good to say. Exactly. That is true. That is very true. See, what we have to realize is the enemy is always there because we live in this world. And he's always trying to form weapons against us, okay? What you need to realize is you have to be mindful of what you say and sometimes don't say anything at all. He's always trying to form weapons against us, and the equipment and the tools to form these weapons he gets from us by every negative word we say. So when you're in doubt and you let that come out of your mouth, you gave him another piece. See, he doesn't have the tools and the weapon to beat you. He doesn't have the tools and the weapon to affect you. But every time you speak negative words, when you speak words of doubt, doesn't mean those thoughts are not going to come. But last time when we talked about, we got to grab those thoughts that are not of God and beat them to dust. Do not rehearse them. Do not speak them. You don't need to call your girlfriend and tell her what the problem is. We bad at that. Bad at that. Because you want somebody to rub your shoulders. Mm-mm. That shoulder rub is not going to do anything for you. So a lot of times, those things you're dealing with, you need to keep that to yourself. Because honestly, I feel like this. Not everybody who say they're praying for you, praying for you. And not everybody that say they mean well for you, mean well for you. Nah, that's just the truth. So sometimes you're safer keeping that thing between you and God. You don't need the pat on the back. You don't need the rub. You don't need the sister I'm praying for you, because I don't know if that's true or not. So I'm going to stick with God on this one. So a lot of times he told them to be quiet. Don't say anything. He said, watch what's going on. Don't be scared because God is with us. Stand firm where we are. Don't run. You know, I'm like, you know, Moses, there's some rocks over there. You want me to start throwing it at them? You're looking for something to battle this thing on your own because it's overwhelming and it seems to be too much to deal with. No, stand in it. Stand in it. Because he's going to move you through it. Amen. Close your mouth. That's a really big, number four is a really big one. A lot of us have a, us, I'm saying us, I really am saying us, I'm including myself in this. A lot of us have a problem with the words we say out of our mouths. Even if it's little things, we think it's okay because I'm sharing it with this particular person, that it's okay for me to say, you know, what's wrong and what I'm dealing with. Sometimes, you know, that particular person don't even need it. You know, because if you're going to trust God, trust God. Don't trust the person sitting next to you. If you're truly going to trust God, then take it to him and leave it there. See, because when we take it to the other person and we want them, I'm saying, you know, you come together and people agree together. I'm not knocking that. And if God leads you to do that, cool. But most of the time, God can handle it all by himself.
Amen.
Okay, so we need to be mindful. We need to close it up and not share everything that we're dealing with.
That's so good.
Because like I said, every time we start saying things that are not positive, things that aren't quite lining up with the word of God, but that's how we're feeling at the moment and we're scared and you know, my foot hurt and my knee hurt too and my elbow been, you know, a little achy and whatever. The next thing you know, you about to get a diagnosis because you just gave the devil your elbow, your knee, and your foot. See, you're giving him the tools to form the weapons against you. Every time we speak cursing instead of blessing, we hand him a piece to come against us. Now, on the flip end of this, God says, the Lord watches over his words to perform it. So let's flip this around. If you speak the things that God says, if you speak what the word says about your situation, something can come up in your mind that's negative. Speak God's word over it. If you speak God's word about the situation, then it says clearly that he's looking for his words. He's searching for his words to go and perform it. Okay, so that's where we have to make a decision who we're going to help.
Yeah.
Are we helping the devil to come against us? Are we going to throw our words, the word of God, out there for God to come and perform them?
Amen.
Right? It's very important. You have to be set. You have to set yourself as to what direction you're going in and stick to it, stand firm on it, and then expect God to come through.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm done. Amen.